Good evening. Welcome to the Saturday evening worship service. At the beginning of the service, shall we bow down our head and prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are here gathering to give praises to you because who you are. God, you are magnificent. You are the creator of the heaven and the earth, and you are also the creator of all lives. Not only you created us, but also you designated us, mankind, to be your heir. You love us, and you gave us high intelligence. You give us your likeness, and so that we, every time we see you, you see us. Father, it's such a beautiful picture, beautiful scene. Our lives came from you and are in you too. Father, though we sinned against you, we know how much your heart was hurt, that you had to drive Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, the paradise. And yet, Father, we know that you still love mankind that you created. Every individual, Father, is on your heart. And that's why you sent your Son to this world and died for us to redeem us from our sins. And then we can have a second opportunity to come back to you. Father, we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit so that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we return to you and we accept the salvation accomplished by Jesus the Lord who died and resurrected. Father, we thank you for accepting us as your beloved children, and you give us this privilege to come to your throne. We can cast all our burdens to you. We can also, every day, we can watch you and watch our Heavenly Father doing the magnificent work in this universe as well as in our lives. We can experience how true you are and how loving you are. Father, we also give praises to you because this earth is someday going to disappear. And someday you are going to give a new heaven and a new earth. And you have designated us, your children, to inherit the eternal blessings. Not only, Father, we will rule the entire universe with you, but also we will surround your throne to give praises to you. And by then, there will be no tears, no sickness, no death. Everything in this world will pass away. And there will be joy, there will be peace, there will be joy unspeakable, and joy that will never, never fade away. And then we will watch and celebrate your glory forever. Father, we long for that day, and we pray that while we are still in this earth, you give us the courage, you give us the strength so that we can live out the purpose that you have set for each one of us, that our life may reflect your love and your glory. While we are still living and walking in this world, we can feel, we will know, and other people can confirm too, that we are indeed people who walk with you and who are never alone, because we have a wonderful God that is always watching over us and walk with us too. This evening, while we are giving praises to you, we also ask the Holy Spirit once again to confirm that we are your children, and also to renew our soul, so that we are revived in the Spirit, that our joy be fulfilled in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let us open the hymn book, or you can watch the screen, for the first hymn of praise. Hymn number 2, How Great Thou Art. Shall we all rise? To raise our hands, both hands, to give praises to God instead of just reading on the screen, and let's praise the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. Well, we are seeing the second stanza, but not the third stanza. Let's try to raise our hands together. And when I think that God is on the very send him to die, I just can't take it in. That on the cross, my sins are forgiven. He bled and died, he take away my sin. This is my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Shout of acclamation and take me home with joy to fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let us continue worshiping by singing hymn 287. 287, I surrender all. I would like to invite the whole congregation to sing stanzas 1 and 4. And brothers, would you sing stanza 2 with me, and the sisters stanza 3, and the chorus will be sung by all together.
In his presence. Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly precious, forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all, sisters.
Dear Jesus, what a wonderful experience it is to fully surrender to You. When we come to You by giving away our doubts, our selfishness, our greed, by giving away our quarrel and our desire for this, our flesh desire, Father, we can truly end all the struggles in our lives. We can truly enjoy the peace that no one, nothing can take away. Jesus, we thank You because of Your blood, because of the work You have done. Our lives are changed and are constantly being renewed, and we are becoming more and more like You. Jesus, we thank You for rebuild and refresh the relationship between us and the Father, the Heavenly Father. We also thank You for working in our lives to change and make it better, the relationship among the family members. Jesus, we also thank You for charging us this noble privilege, this giving us this noble call to be the ambassadors for Christ, so that we, when we are still living in this world, we are still walking and working among the people who do not know You, we can proclaim this good news, that the deteriorating relationship can be restored between men and God, and also among the people, all because of You. Jesus, once again we thank You, and we want to say, Jesus, it is so nice to surrender our lives to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Let's continue our worship by singing Praise Hymn 295, Our Best. Let us have a minute to pray together. If you have your family members sitting next to you, you can sit closer to each other and pray with each other. If you do not have your family members sitting with you, you still have God's family member around you, so you can find a friend or even a stranger sitting next to you and get to know each other, introduce yourself to each other, and pray together. This evening, we will pray first to get ready to receive God's word, and we will also thank Him for all what He has done for us. And if you have any special items to give thanks about, it can also include in your prayer. And also, I would like to request you to remember the brothers and sisters who are going to be baptized on the 18th of this, the 16th of this month. The baptismal testimonies will be given on the evening of Wednesday, the 12th. So you all feel welcome to join. And in the meantime, I just ask you to pray for those who brothers and sisters who are on the list to give their testimony, ask God to give them the courage and to keep them well. And some of them are amongst us.
And also pray for the youth retreat, which is taking place between the 14th and the 16th. That is coming soon, too. We have several nice workshops. We have Brother Phil Waldvogel as our theme speaker, and we have several other speakers speaking on how to let others see Jesus in you at school, at home, and in the church. And we have workshops on communication, and we have a workshop on how to make yourself more popular at home and in other places. So there's a lot of good programs in there. Of course, there are outdoor activities, so many youths are going to spend a whole weekend together. So pray for this retreat, pray for all the participants, pray for all the speakers too. Okay, I've said it, I think, enough for you too, including your prayer. Welcome, we all now bow our head and have a few minutes praying together, and then I will close with the Lord's Prayer. Now would you join me to pray as our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, shall we open our Bible and turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Some of you are asking, what's going on here? Aren't the children are supposed to go to their classes? The answer is no. You probably don't remember that we have a children's sermon this evening before the sermon to the adults. All right? So, you forgot something. I forgot something, too. I would like to take this time to introduce newcomers, if we have any friends who come to this Saturday evening the first time, whether you're already a Righteous Church member or not, would you please stand up and tell us your name and the town you live so that we can recognize you? Could you? Start with the people on my right-hand side. Do we have any friends who come to this Saturday evening service the first time? All right. Stephen, Debbie, and Harrison. Which town do you live?
Bridgewater.
How many people in this congregation live in Bridgewater? Please raise your hand. Oh, that's quite a few. Okay. Hi, Steve. Welcome. And I hope that people will get to know Steve and his family. Okay. Any other friends? All right. On my left-hand side, do we have friends or visitors? All right. Okay, let's give a hand of welcome to the family again. All right, now let's read the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Shall we read together? Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This evening we have Pastor Henry Chen amongst us, and he is going to deliver a message entitled "Christians' Unique Blessings." Christians' Unique Blessings. Pastor Chen. I would like to invite all the children to come forward to sit at the stairs.
This is more scary than I thought. Okay. Now, tonight we just read a very famous speech given by Jesus. Okay? It's called the Beatitudes. Now, one word keeps on popping up during the verses we read. Can anybody tell me which word? Blessed, yeah. That word keeps on popping up. Actually, it's the first word of every sentence Jesus spoke. Now, blessing is something every person loves to have, especially Chinese. Chinese are expert in searching for blessing. I can show you some proof, okay? Okay, all right, good. You like proof, okay. You'll be a good engineer. Okay. Now, before I show you the proof, I need to ask you a question. And if you know the answer, raise your hand before you shout out the answer, okay? The question is this. There's something special about next Friday and Saturday for Chinese. Does anybody know why? Okay, why? Chinese New Year, yeah. We live in America, but we know Chinese New Year. Okay. Now, do you know what Chinese do in the Chinese New Year? Yeah? They celebrate how?
By
Hong Bao. Okay. Good. good for you. Oh, is my son here? You didn't hear that, okay, John Paul. Now, huh? Oh, yeah, they set up firecrackers, that's right. New Year's dinner, okay. You guys are all right, but you didn't mention something which I will show you. Anybody recognize this? Raise your hand. What is this? No, this is not blessed. This is what? Anybody know how to read this? Huh? Okay, 春年, yeah, but this word. What? Fu? Okay. Do you go to Chinese school? You don't? Huh? Oh, you're just from Taiwan. You don't go to... Alright, that's good. Alright. Huh? You know what it means? What it means? Yeah. Good luck, good fortune, or blessing. Okay. Actually, if you read the Chinese Bible, you'll find out this word keeps on popping up in the verses we read. Okay? Now, every new year, Chinese post this thing on their wall, on the doors, places, because they are hungry for blessing. And they are so hungry, and sometimes they will even act foolishly, like an uneducated person. Now, anybody knows how this word is supposed to be hanged? This way? Just like that? Oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. Now, there are some Chinese people would do it this way. Now, I just have to tell you that I can't explain to you with English, okay? I mean, this is not a Chinese school, okay? But if you go to people's house and you see them hang this word this way, do not correct them. You'll get them very upset, okay? Because this is how they believe blessing would come. Okay. Very strange, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, there's people with PhD degree, medical doctor, hang this word this way. Okay, you know, I mean, and that's the environment I grew up. I see parents, I see my neighbors doing this every year. Hang these things, made out of a little piece of paper. Maybe 2-3 weeks later, a couple months later, rain, insect, spider webs will make this thing no longer so red. So they'll take them up, they take them down. And next year, they'll post it up again. Because Chinese are hungry for blessing. And that's the environment that I grew up. I see adults doing this every year. So I know blessing is something good. But I also know that these adults don't know what blessing is. Because they repeat this every year. Using little piece of paper like this. Hoping that this will exchange in getting something back. And that's why I want to tell you tonight that this special person, Jesus, he is the one who knows what blessing is. Now, the special blessing Jesus brings, let me tell you this tonight, may seem strange at times. It may seem difficult to understand. You see, he says, blessed are the poor. How many of you want to be poor? Raise your hand. Huh? You're a good man if you don't want to be poor. You see, I'm a pastor, but I said that you're a good man if you don't want to be poor. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Any one of you who here like to cry? You must have some experience crying before, right? Maybe your parents discipline you. Maybe he wants to send you to Chinese school to learn this kind of stuff and you don't want to go. And then, you know, get upset with you, so you cry. When you cry, do you call out and say, man, I'm really a blessed person? You don't. But Jesus, His blessing, sometimes make you uncomfortable. Sometimes make people uncomfortable. That's why in church, we keep on teaching. We keep on teaching people that we are what? No, before we are Christian, we are what? What did you say? Sinners. Yeah. That's not a very comfortable word, isn't it? Who wants to be a sinner? Who wants to admit that we are sinners? But you see, once you get to understand that the reason Jesus makes us uncomfortable because He wants to bring true blessing to the world. Blessing that no human being ever known before, including my parents and all those Chinese people in the past 1,000, 2,000 years. They keep on posting this because they don't know what blessing is. Jesus wants to bring that special blessing into anyone who is willing to receive. And for those who have received that blessing, Jesus said, those people will speak up for Him. Those people will be willing to identify with Him, even with the risk of being laughed at. Your parents bring you to church every Saturday night or Sunday morning because your parents have experienced the blessing that Jesus brings to their life, hoping that same blessing will come into your life one day. And it may already have happened. Do you desire to know that blessing? Anyone desire to know that blessing? Raise your hand, let me see. Anyone? Yes? Anyone else? Desire? Okay, you. All right. Let's pray. After prayer, you may go in peace, okay? Dear Father, we do bring these children to your presence, knowing that with our limited ability, with our inadequacy, it seems impossible to explain to them the blessing that we have experienced in Christ Jesus. But we have faith. We have a living hope. But we were like them before, now knowing Jesus. But Christ has come into our life in a glorious way. Therefore, we bless them. And we say, Father, we dedicate our children into your hand and ask that whatever way that you want to lead them, we pray that go ahead and lead them. And we even pray that whatever change you want us to take in order so that they may see the blessing that you have given us in Christ, whatever change that you want us to take, we are willing to take that change also. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, you may go in peace. Good evening again. Now, in reality, I wish I said goodnight to you. Because in reality, I'm ready to retire tonight, okay? Friday morning, I said to the secretary, I said, you know, my career being a pastor is really put on the line this Saturday. She said, why? I said, I'm going to give a children's sermon. She said, Sarah said, oh, just give it. I said, why don't you do it? So, I'm exhausted. My entire 2 or 3 days before today is trying to find out what to speak to them. And then, afterward, what to speak to you. Because in reality, there's nothing more to say. There's nothing more to say to you after you sitting here, listen to what I said to them. Because that's the core of any true pastor's message. Trying to tell people that Jesus is the center, is supposed to be the center of our life. No matter how He's going to lead us, no matter what kind of persecution we may have to go through. After children's sermon, there's really nothing to be said. You see, we're supposed to teach the children in a direct way. We're supposed to teach them most effectively because their attention span is very short. Because we don't want to waste their time. Because we don't want them to feel bored. And that's why I try to say to them in 5 or 7, 8 minutes, the most important thing. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to tell people in the word that He spoke, even in those simple 8 or 10 verses. People say that a children's heart is like a white piece of paper. It's like a piece of white paper. You can mark on them. You can write on them. They are so easy to be directed. That's why we're supposed to teach them directly, effectively, honestly. We're supposed to tell them what is the most important thing for them to hear. So, you have heard that. But we have 25 more minutes to go, so I have to say something. Also, some of you here are adults, and some are youth, okay? Junior high, senior high. You're no longer children. You are sophisticated now. You don't want to hear something direct. You don't want to hear something repeated to you so simple. You want to be convinced. You want to be persuaded. And then sometimes, you may even say, is this central message so central? Is this message so important? As I said to the young people, desiring blessing is a universal thing. That is why the passage we just read today, tonight, is a very famous passage, even among non-Christians. If you look at your Bible, English Bible, the title right before chapter 5 is The Beatitudes. Look at the dictionary. What does it mean? What does beatitude mean? It says, the ultimate state of blessedness. The ultimate state of happiness. And that's why you will sometimes find out in a non-Christian setting, in a secular context, people refer to these verses. Seminars, philosophers, gurus refer to these verses. Often, in a non-Christian environment, a verse here, a verse there, is used selectively to encourage people to strive for something different, to strive for either a virtue or a virtuous act, to strive for change. For example, I have read books, non-Christian books, talk about, you know, being humble is a good thing. They will quote verse 5, blessed are the meek. They will say that, hey, being humble in life is a good thing. Why? Because they will inherit the earth. They will say that being humble in the long run will pay off. You see, if you want to inherit something, you cannot rush it, okay? My son, who was here, this is probably 2 years ago, or maybe last year, I forgot. He said something to me. He said, Bobby, Daddy, this house that your mommy has, who are you going to give it to? Me or Da Jie or Er Jie? I said, I don't know. I said, we may sell it, you know, when you guys go to college. Don't sell it. Give it to me. You see, if he wants to inherit the house, he has to wait for the turn. You can't rush it. So you will hear people who say that, you know, being a little bit humble is good because it will pay off. You know, it may not be advantageous now, but if you are humble, you may persuade someone in the long run to really give you some good things. You may inherit something. All these teachings in a non-secular setting are given without talking about the unique person who spoke these words. They will quote. They will say, Jesus said this. But that's it. They immediately pay attention to these verses, trying to use this verse according to their desire without giving the proper reference to the unique person who spoke these words. And that's what I want to tell you today, that these blessings that Jesus spoke is not universal blessing. No one will ever understand this blessing without having an intimate relationship with the one who spoke these words. No one. The uniqueness of this blessing is actually very obvious. You can simply find out that these blessings are not something can be sought with a universal principle. The uniqueness can be seen simply from the content of his words, simply from the content of these blessings. For example, the very first blessing is a shocking statement. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you go to Luke chapter 6, you don't have to turn to that now. Luke chapter 6, verse 20, you will find out a very similar statement. Luke's statement is even shorter. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are poor. Luke doesn't even have in spirit. Now, we don't have time to talk about, you know, who is right or who is wrong, or, you know, how can you tell the difference, okay? I mean, this is, you know, this involves biblical authority, this kind of issue. But I have to say this. It is very possible that Luke's statement is closer to the original word that Jesus spoke. It is very possible. But Matthew is right to add in spirit. I will try to explain that later. It is very possible that Luke's short statement, blessed are the poor. This is a shocking statement. You never heard Guru quoting Beatitude, quoting this verse. You never heard philosopher trying to, you know, teach people how to have a better life, quoting Luke chapter 6 verse 20 and said, happy are the poor. Now, I already said Matthew, if Matthew add in spirit, it is correct for him to do that because he later understand, maybe that day he already understood what Jesus meant. The poverty Jesus talked about doesn't mean material poverty. This doesn't mean materially poor. You see, when communism was gaining the popularity in the early part of last century, one criticism communism threw at Christianity is that they said Christianity was a device used by the privileged class to oppress the poor. You know that communism has a very basic fundamental understanding, that is, there is no God in the world. So any religion they had to attack. And when they attack Christianity, this is a very effective criticism
they threw against Christianity. I believe in church history, there is probably a certain period of time, a certain privileged class did use these verses, trying to fool people. If you look at the Middle Age, in the European history, you will find out that the so-called church at those times did use this kind of teaching, trying to oppress the poor. 4 years ago, the first time when I went to Germany, they held a gospel camp in a town called Würzburg. It's a small town, okay? Probably the population in Würzburg is no more than 150,000 in modern day, okay? 200,000, modern day, small town. And one day during a break, they said, we'll take them to see this city. This city is very pretty. So we went. They took us to see the mansion of a bishop. That mansion has over 50 bedrooms. 50 bedrooms. Now, the bishop's supposed to be single, okay? They're supposed to be, celibacy. You know what I mean, right? No wife and no children. He has 50 bedrooms in that mansion. You walk into the hallway, look up. There's a dorm. The whole dorm is decorated with gold plate, original building. I was looking through the literature. They were written in German. I don't read German, so I was looking at them. One of the Chinese guy came over and he said, "This literature talk about the tax rate during those times put upon the peasants. Do you know what is the tax rate? Almost 60%. Almost 60% of the agricultural crop the peasant has to give to this bishop. Now, you complain about American having high tax. This is several hundred years ago. Probably, I believe this is probably true. They will say that you're poor, but didn't just read the Bible? Blessed are the poor. So keep on giving to the church. You see, we shouldn't understand this verse as saying something about material poverty. I already said to the little children, I, being a pastor, would honestly admit, I don't want to be poor. I do not like poverty. Now, I understand that being a servant for God in a church, what kind of an inner disposition I need to have towards wealth. I fully understand that. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, when Paul says something about selecting an overseer, an elder in a church, one of the qualifications Paul says is this. That person has to be, this is a negative thing, not a lover of money. An overseer cannot be a lover of money. But I have to tell this. That doesn't mean that this person has to be poor. He shouldn't love money. What I'm trying to tell you is, I, being a pastor, know that I shouldn't be a lover of money. And actually, 11 years ago, when I quit my chemical engineering job, that is one barrier that I was able to overcome to a certain degree already. I was able to overcome the nature desire to having more things. But still, I don't want to be poor. I have a very close relative living in Los Angeles. Very, very beautiful development. It has security guard, it has, this gated community. When he bought that house, it was like $760,000. It's probably close to $900,000 now.
It's built in a hillside. You get up there, you look and you see the light of LA. Beautiful place. Several years ago, we had a vacation, family vacation with this relative. My daughter said to me, "Daddy, wouldn't it be nice that we have a house like this?" Guess what I said to her? Did I scold her? Did I say, "No, you shouldn't think this way"? I was a pastor already. And she said, "Daddy, wouldn't it be nice that we have a house like this?" She's saying to someone, it's pretty much hopeless to have a life like this. But do you know my answer? I said, "Yeah, wouldn't it be nice?" Because brothers and sisters and friends, it is our nature things. It is part of our human nature, not wanting to be poor. What kind of poverty is being talked about? Matthew is right to say that blessed are the poor in spirit. The uniqueness of Jesus' teaching here cannot be understood with a natural mind. When he talks about poverty, he is not talking about natural man thinking about poverty. In other words, the uniqueness of Jesus' teaching here can only be understood. One can only understand what Jesus is saying here. The special blessing that Jesus is talking about here can only be understood within the entire teaching of Jesus. The entire teaching of his career while he walked this earth. And you don't even have to go that far. Just read chapter 5 through 7. Just read that context. You will begin to understand the special blessing he's talking about here. Let me explain what I meant. You see, after making announcement, after pronouncing these blessing, after the announcement of blessedness, immediately is followed by some really, really hard teachings. When I say hard teachings, I don't mean hard to understand. I mean hard to take. After pronouncing blessing, immediately followed by teaching that is so heavy, so weighty. Give you some example. Chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, verse 27 to 28. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now this is a service with young people, okay? So if we rate a service like this, it's like rating a movie. The most we should rate is PG-13. We're not supposed to get into the R rating. So I don't have to expound this particular verse 27 to 28. I don't have to explain to you how horrible these words might have sounded to those who heard it. This is impossible for anyone who tried to live in this world with a clean conscience and accepting a statement like this. It is impossible. It is impossible. All I have to do is give you an illustration. Many, many years ago, a brother who is very zealous for the Lord and the gospel, he lives in Piscataway. He's no longer here. He went to pastor another church. One time he said, Henry, let's go. I know a friend, you know, he doesn't know Jesus yet. Let's talk to him about the gospel. So we went. It's a gentleman, it's about 50 something years old. At that time I was only close to mid 30. So we sat down, the gentleman was very polite to us. We talked, you know, after small talk, my friend began sharing about Jesus. This gentleman, his wife was at times in the living room also, politely rejected the gospel and said, you know, for you people who want to believe in Jesus, that is fine. But you see, I am a man who grew up in the Chinese traditional teaching, moral teaching. 伦理道德. I grew up in that environment. I do not have to receive any other things. And at this moment, his wife happened to get up and went into the kitchen to get us some hot tea. So this brother of me there and said, oh, so you're telling me you live a perfect life. Let me challenge you this. Every thought in your mind, including some of the beautiful women you may have seen, some advertisement, every thought occurs in your mind. Are you telling me you have a clean conscience to tell your wife? This is what, you know, this zealous brother did, asking this gentleman. You know what happened? Within 30 seconds, he and I were at the door. This polite, gentle Chinese traditional 50 years old gentleman asked us to leave his house. Why? You think about it. Because it's a challenge. He doesn't want to answer. And that's what Jesus said here. There's more. Verse 38 to 41. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Parents, how are you going to teach your kids in today's society? I mean, we are pious parents if we tell our kid, if someone bully you, walk away. Walking away is the highest we can achieve. And Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side. Think about it. Just last week, I asked my son, I said, did anybody bully you in school? He said, yeah. I said, what did you do? I don't want to tell you his answer. But I was speechless. What can I tell him? 9 years old, if I tell him these statements, he's going to say, this is impossible. Why don't you homeschool me? And even you homeschool me, you bully me sometimes, Father. After the pronouncement of blessedness, these are the teachings he gave. Making people to feel the weight of his words. You see, the blessing of Jesus does seem strange at times. Not only young kids, us, everyone, like to hear pleasant message. We like to hear something pleasing to our ears. And sometimes that is my deepest struggle. I have heard from certain people that I have some reputation to be a mean pastor, especially on pulpit. You see, I'm very kind when I'm down there, okay? Very, very gentle person. You'll find out. Ask Peter Chow. But sometimes when I get up and standing behind this pulpit, I have to be honest to the calling. Blessing comes, real blessing comes in a strange way, seemingly difficult. Philosophers, gurus, motivators, you see on the TV, you see those TV gurus, those people who motivate, you know, self-worthiness, they use scriptures also. But they skip the weighty part. And they take Jesus out of the picture. Because not only his message, but also his life, the entire life, speaks one message to humankind. Loud and clear, speaking to humankind, pronouncing the impossibility for human to strive for a happy life. Now in these verses I just quote to you, his entire life, dying on the cross, the necessity to die for other people, is a clear message, making people uncomfortable. But just like I said to the young people, to the children, once a person really understands, yes, this is a strange gospel. This gospel, this so-called good news, seems so strange from every good news that I heard in the world. Once a person really sees the uniqueness of this blessing is intimately connected with this special person, Jesus, and open his heart or her heart, he will experience the joy of this new life to the point that he is willing to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus' name. He is willing to be laughed at. He not only hunger for righteousness, but is willing to be persecuted because of righteousness. Verse 3 to 10, the A blessing, you will find out that Jesus' explanation specifically given to explain verse 10, what is righteousness mean? In verse 10 he said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And he only expound this part with the further explanation in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. There is no righteousness apart from Jesus. Any human talk about righteousness is in vain. There is a sense of perfect righteousness comes only from this special person, Jesus. And those who have experienced, even though we cannot explain, when people ask me, you know, in gospel class, evangelical class, one thing I really have difficult time to explain righteousness. Because in the human world, we do not know what righteousness is. We cannot explain. We don't know. We cannot explain something we don't know. But in a mysterious way, this special person, Jesus, brings a sense of a certainty, assurance, that we have been made righteous by identifying our life with him. And knowing that blessing, that joy, make us to continue to speak for him, to speak about him, even in the midst of being laughed at, even in the midst of being ridiculed. That's Christians' unique blessings. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for calling us here tonight. It's a cold night. every one of us, according to our natural person, will probably like to stay at home. And even in the morning, Sunday morning, in a cold Sunday morning, our natural person would like to stay in bed. Father, thank you for this calling, unspeakable calling in our heart to come together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this special calling. Thank you for this special blessing that you give us a sense of poverty deep in our heart. You give us a sense of hunger. Hunger for that righteousness, somehow we know that we already have. But hunger that righteousness to manifest more. Especially, thank you for giving us the courage to continue to speak about this gospel to this dark world. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Henry. Shall we all stand up and sing hymn 297 in response to the message we just received? Stanzas 1 and 2.
Living for Jesus, oh what peace, rivers of pleasure never cease. Trials may come, yet are not fear. Living for Jesus, He is near. Help me to serve Thee more and more. Help me to pray. To turn from Thee away. Living for Jesus, oh what rest, pleasing my Savior, I am blessed. Only to live for Him alone, doing His will till life is done. Help me to serve Thee more and more. Help me to praise Thee more and more. Living Thy presence day by day. Never to turn from Thee away.
Let's remain standing. I would like to ask Pastor Chan to give benediction.
Let us pray. May our Heavenly Father shower us with His blessing and grace, pouring out His love continuously through the working of His Holy Spirit, making us to know Jesus Christ more and more. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus keep us, be with us, until we see Him face to face. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us sing the doxology together.
Praise the all He is.
a silent prayer. You may be dismissed. Have a blessed week.